Welcome one, welcome all, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 66, coming at you right now, ladies and gentlemen. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of a store located in Manchester, Connecticut called The Portal. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. You can check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and find us on Twitter, at PortalGaming60 is our handle there. Howdy, folks. I am your host, The Brant, and with me this time for this episode is...
Christian.
Christian is a local player at our store. He'll tell you more about that. Portal Gaming Podcast is also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, so we are glad to be part of that, and to be an inclusive gaming community at the Portal. It is important to us that it is a place for all gamers to play. I know that's been in high controversy lately, and the Portal is open its doors to everybody, no matter who you are, your gender, your race, your ethnicity, anything, any of those things, please come play at our store. Board games are fun, and they're fun for everyone. There we go. So this episode is entitled...
Order 66.
That's right. What else do you title episode 66 than that famous order executed for all the clones everywhere to turn on their master Jedis and execute them? So the Emperor had that plan in place all the time, and then suddenly clone troopers were stormtroopers. Howdy, Christian. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am good. I'm glad you made the trek out here to record this episode. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your gaming background, games you like to play.
Gaming background, I started when I was a wee lad, age 7. I think my dad introduced me to... the small game called Squad Leader. Later on in years, I did Starfleet Battles, and then at our house always did like Trivial Pursuits and that kind of thing. What's the other one? Scattergories. That was my sister was older than I am. Well, she's 3.5 years older than I am, so she had the money to buy games and stuff, and so we played those kind of games. I am an Omni gamer. I like any kind of game. I mean, there's certain things that I like, and there's other things that are like, I truly like, okay, you know, you've played with me. It's like, hey, you want to play a game? 80% of the time, you want to say, sure. But other times, it's like, no thanks, not this time. But yeah, I love gaming. My wife always tells me, once a gamer, always a gamer. You know, I've got my Xbox, I've got my iPad and stuff like that, and I you know, doodle with apps and just board games and solo games and games with more games.
Nice.
Put a sprinkle game on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like from playing with you, generally you've been more of a thematic gamer, but I feel like lately you've been playing some less thematic, more strategic style games.
Yeah. I've got a thing on eBay. You ever hear of Conquest of the Empire?
Yes.
It's kind of got no theme, but it's got theme.
Right.
Because you're just throwing your armies at certain places, taking up, resources, and then you see the inflation of all your things. My dad and I played that when I was younger, and he gave it away to one of his friends instead of me. But that's on order, so I look forward to playing that game.
All right, when we get you sit down to play a train game for 4 hours, then we'll...
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I've seen 1800s, but... yeah, I don't know. I do want to try Whistle Stop, though.
Oh, very good game. Yeah, very good. I do agree, though, with, in terms of what you're saying, like, if I say, hey, Christian, you want to play this? You're like, I'm in. And you may not ask to play it again or seek it out to buy it, but you sit down to play anything.
Yeah.
That's totally your style. Cool. So how did you find out about the Portal?
Oh, there was a thing called the Dice Tower that I've been, when I became really more into the hobby, and I didn't know more people were so adamant about the hobby as I was. I'm like... I just bought board games, and I'm like, well, I bought this new game. I want to see how to play it. And this other guy, Rodney Smith, I don't know, he starts doing some other introduction to how to play games. And then, Tom Vassell, hey, this review of this game is blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. Show us a little introduction to how to play the game. And I was like, I think I'll go out to the store and buy that game as well, you know, because some of the reviews were pretty good. But I sometimes just buy games on the whim. It's like, oh, that game looks good. And my wife's like, is that in your budget? And I'm like, yes. You know, and then the next week I won't buy anything. But I lost track.
I was asking how you first came to the portal.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the Dice Tower was coming to Connecticut. And I said, I wonder where they're going. Up to the portal. And I said, okay, that's Manchester. It's about a half-hour drive from Plainville, you know? And it's funny because the meetup that was going to be there, I signed up probably like a week before it was going to happen, maybe a week and a half. And I said, okay, so this Harrison guy and Brian, they're all like, welcome to our meetup group. Well, good to see you there. And then when I clicked on the meetup group, it says the portal's still alive. And it says, we like fresh bakery goods or something like that. And I said, oh, that's kind of cool. Not thinking the cake is a lie. I brought cookies. You know, I stopped at Stop Shop, brought a thing of cookies, and got to the portal. I mean, the massive library. I was like, what? It's like a kid in the kiddies tour. And the amount of things that can be purchased at the portal is phenomenal. Phenomenal. You know, with those... I don't know. It was just mind blowing. I mean, I've been to the Time Machine before, you know, and the amount of hobby things that they have at the Time Machine, and then going across the street and having a board game place because you know, I believe that's how it happened.
Cool, nice.
Yeah.
So you've been coming out many Thursdays since.
Yeah.
Other events.
My Thursday's off. My wife doesn't like me if she has a day off too, and. I like Tuesdays. Tuesdays, I actually go to a different place and play card games with another member of our meetup group.
Nice.
That's local to me, but going out Thursdays and seeing a lot of people that I know, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And you come to some of the 24-hour events.
Yes, that's also one of the ones coming up this year.
Yeah, see my segue from into?
Yeah.
All right. So talking about upcoming events, we'll hear more from Christian. He's going to be here for the whole episode, so we'll find out some more things. First one leading in here, we have the Extra Life charity event. So the store is open all 24 hours. Sometimes this confuses people. They're like, are you open at 1 a.m.? Yes. Are you open at 11 p.m.? Yes. Midnight to midnight. All day Saturday. So midnight Saturday to midnight Sunday. The store is open.
How long have we been using a clock around here?
And in fact, if you want to come Friday night magic usually spills over right till midnight, so you could just play right through if you wanted to. But this one's really exciting. It's on Saturday, November 4th, and it's the Extra Life charity event. So there's all sorts of different events and tournaments and raffles and things you can purchase. That will all go towards the Extra Life charity. Extra Life was a video game charity event that turned into a board game charity event. And so we have several sections. This is the Hartford Guild, and they do both. They have video games and board gamers. All the money for this one goes to the Connecticut Children's Medical Center, which if you don't know about them, they just do a phenomenal job. I've had to... Well, sadly, had to bring kids there because they've been sick or hurt or whatever. And they absolutely know what they're doing. Even some of the outpatient centers and things that I've been to, they're great with kids. And so that's definitely something that we want to support and be part of. So you don't have to come all 24 hours. You can come for an hour is fine. So don't feel like it's an event. There's no signups. The store is just open. Come on down, play some games, hang out, donate some money, meet some people. In past years, they've even had kids that have been sponsored and stuff. So there'll be a lot more coming up about that. So that's a big event for us. And then the other one is the Silk City Board Game Group. So this is held at the Manchester Public Library. And this is on October 28th from noon to 4:30. And so you definitely want to check that out. That is something we sponsor every month. Quick note, we did an event in Hartford. Brian and I did the DevOps days, and so there's a whole bunch of computer programmers who get together, and they had a conference during the day, and then the people who are running it asked us to come and have a booth and run games for people. So I taught 6 games in 45 minutes.
Wow.
It was awesome. So we had a bunch of tables running. Brian taught several games, and yeah, it was really fun. It was cool too. It was like people were kind of sitting, and there was kind of like an open bar environment, and I was like, is anybody interested in learning a game? They're like, we're not saying no. And so I went up and I started teaching, and I taught Number 9, and I taught Timeline, and I taught King Domino, and I taught Climbers, and I taught Codenames, and there's other games I taught that I can't think of. And all in 45 minutes. And then food came out, dinner, and I couldn't compete with dinner. Everybody was hungry.
Yeah.
And that's how it went, but that was a good time. So, Christian, you should check out some of those upcoming events.
Sure.
Nice.
If my day, if my days off coincides with those, yes.
Nice. Yeah. So those are things. Obviously, there's all sorts of weekly events and things going on. There's the Thursday night meetup. There's a Sunday afternoon meetup group for board games, and there's all sorts of things for Warhammer and Magic and other games that I don't know that are organized and get played at the store, because I don't track everything because there's too many things to track, and that's good.
I'd say Dungeons & Dragons organized play, because there's always someone playing there's an introduction to Dungeons & Dragons there.
Yeah, totally. There's all those things, so... You know, come bring your friends, find something to get involved in. There's always something to do. And then, of course, the holiday season is coming soon. So that makes the time machine across the street even more exciting as
all that stuff happens.
So, all right, cool. Let's move straight to what's on your table. Christian, why don't you tell us about a game that you've been playing lately?
Actually, I taught a game at work. I shouldn't have been doing that. But anyway, one of the girls that I work with at... I introduced her to Star Realms, and she totally enjoyed it. Another gentleman at work, I introduced him to Dice Masters, and so he enjoys that. We haven't had a chance to play it because he's going back to school, and so his time being per diem and stuff like that, it doesn't work. But I have been playing Star Realms solo, because they have those the Gambit cards. Where you can play against the pirates or against the space creature. I've been playing that. A lot of times I lose. I don't get it. Well, you've seen me play. I lose a lot, but I enjoy myself. Not losing, but just enjoy playing the game. And the other game I've been playing is the Tiny Epic Galaxies. I don't have the expansion for that, but still, the game has so much in the box, so many planets, and playing against five different AI type cards, you know, makes the game just full of single player or up to 4 player or 5 player.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, they've done a great job with that game. They keep bringing stuff out. They keep bringing different ideas. They have like, it's not heroes because I know that's Hero Realms,
they're
but they have
captains
like captains
of ships.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you can have upgrades and give them extra abilities and stuff like that. So that changed the game up very, a lot.
Yeah, it's funny because like deck building is one of those things that I feel like people are starting to get over, like, oh, I'm done with deck building. And then somebody comes out like Clank,
yes,
where people get back into deck building and they're like, no, it's cool. But sometimes I just go back to play the old stuff. Like I just play Dominion and I'm like, no, this is super fun. Or play a Star Realms and you just mix something up a little bit, or you just see new cards and it's fun. I do admit that's probably one of my favorite things in games, is just cards with text. Too much text is obviously overwhelming. Just give me a bunch of cards with text. I'm a sucker for an LCG and a CCG and any of those card games that have all those powers, because it's just fun to try to figure out what to do. I always feel like I'm doing something even if it's not optimal, but I don't know till the end. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, you did better than me. Okay.
Yeah. Oops,
but I had something going that I thought was going to work. Or, you know, you can get a little frustrated, but a Star Realms is 20 minutes. So.
Yeah.
Cool, nice. That's, what did we decide? White Wizard Games?
White Wizard Games for Star Realms and Gamelin Games for Tiny Epic Galaxies.
Nice. Cool. So I have been playing, I've been replaying, so sorry. Quick programming note is next episode, my wife, Kathy, and I are going to recap VonnerCon. It was going to be Brian, but then we realized, well, that's silly, because Kathy was here the entire time. Brian was here for a ton of it. But it's, for people who don't know, VonnerCon's a convention that I hold at my house. Open to anybody. If you want to come, just contact me. You're good. PortalGamingPodcast@gmail.com would work. It's not really associated with a store. We've had some small sponsorship where we sold stuff and things like that. It's just a fun convention. you know, people say, well, why would you talk about a podcast about the store? Well, it's a community. And the community from the store came and played. Christian, you came and played at that.
Yes.
So we're going to recap that, my wife and I, on the next episode. Just didn't work out. I was telling Christian when he came over tonight, we went from VonnerCon to BusyCon. So we haven't even cleaned up our house yet. So we just decided to take a little pause. So Christian was nice enough to come on out so we could do this episode. And the next one, Kath and I will recap VonnerCon. So I'm going to hit a whole bunch of those games. But recently I got to replay a bunch of games, so I'm just going to run through them. So I got to teach two new people Terraforming Mars. Have you played Terraforming Mars yet?
I want to.
Okay. But Terraforming Mars was my favorite game from 2016, and it still stands there. It was so good. And I did it full on. I did all the drafting. I did the special power, you know, corporations. We all started at zero, and it's so good that way. It was decently long. I mean, with teaching, it probably took us about 3 hours. But they loved it. Had a great time. Yes.
It also came out at the same time that Dice Tower invaded Connecticut.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Dice Tower invaded Connecticut. We terraformed Mars. So yeah. There's that. But yeah, it was just cool to play it with two new people and see them reading through the cards and asking questions. But again, it's a complex game that once you get into it, it's not that bad. It's all about the cards. And so as long as you're not overwhelmed by reading all those cards, you know, and there's an element where people kind of toss up their hands and they're like, well, I got these four cards. I don't know which one's better. So they draft one and pass. But they're fine with it. Like, it's okay. Or you can even draft against somebody. But yeah, it was a solid game. It was pretty close. I did win. They didn't end up getting a lot of tiles on the board. And those points add up quickly. So I think that was a big difference in terms of that, which I've seen a lot the first time people play. But this is Stronghold Games. It's going to be a classic. This game is just going to go down. It's going to have expansion after expansion. I know at Essen they're releasing the Venus next. They just released the two new maps, which is cool to just throw a new map in there is fine. Like people say, oh, that's all it is. It's like, that's all you need. Well, you know, you don't need to take a game and go from, you know, 210 cards in the deck to 280 cards in the deck. Then it's just, you know, convolutes all that stuff.
Look at Power Grid.
Yeah, it's true. That's all they do, change the maps. So that's Terraforming Mars Stronghold Games. I think it's just me now, right? You talked about yours?
Well,
you got your other one.
Played those all together. It was...
Oh, yeah. We played this one together, right?
Yeah, we played Vast together.
Cool. So we got to play Vast Crystal Caverns. I forgot that was us. Mm-hmm. So this is from Leader Games, and this I got at Gen Con last year. And so I've always said that Vast... No, why don't you talk about Vast? Because I've already talked about Vast.
But yes, you have talked about Vast. Vast, for my first experience, it was a bunch of little mini games together, and it just worked out so well. I mean, it's just for each person to know what they're doing, to rock, paper, scissors, almost, that we saw, because we had... you know, we got the goblins, which help out the cave, which we didn't do because we only had three people. But playing it as a cave, trying to stop the hero, and then finding out the dragon was winning. I could have stopped him, but I was trying to lay out more treasure for the hero so he can defeat the dragon. And the dragon kept on destroying the treasure.
Yeah.
So that kind of puzzled me, but it was an excellent game. Excellent game. I'd like to play it again. And that's my story.
Nice, yeah. So kind of what you were saying there, I think, is perfect. Vast to me is almost more of an experience, like a role-playing game or something, than an actual like competition. It totally is a competition. Somebody wins. But until everybody knows all the roles and the strengths and weaknesses and who's doing what, it kind of becomes a toss-up, like you said. Like you were like, oh, well, I'm the cave, so I'm going to stop this knight who's, you know, traveling around getting more powerful. But meanwhile, you didn't realize that's strengthening the dragon. And I'm like, please stop. He's getting so strong. And then he just got to a point we couldn't stop him.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Everybody still has fun. It's not a game where you go home and you're like, oh, I almost won. And it would have been so much better, you know, like a Euro point game where you're like, ah, I lost by 10 points. You don't really know what you lost by. You just know you lost. Mm-hmm. And just, there's something nice about that, right? Yeah. Like ignorance is bliss. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I had forgotten how good this game is. And so how did you feel about the teach where I just played the first round? It was basically just me playing. How did you feel about that? Was that okay to jump in?
I mean, you said, okay, you can do this, but it's better if you do this.
Right.
So it's not like you were playing for us, but it was at the same time, if you played by yourself, okay, this is, you have multiple choices of what you can do, but you have things that you have to do on your turn. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You know, open up a side of the cave, you have to put down the cave parts, but you also have a chance of putting items wherever you want. But yeah, I didn't mind it at all.
Nice. Yeah, I feel like the only thing that confused me was because we didn't have the goblins. I know how the goblins interact with, like, the knight and with the dragon, and then when you remove them, there were some confusing elements, like, what do you do when they're not there, which is pretty well spelled out. I think the rules for the game are pretty good, but it's definitely one of those games where there's, like, little rule, little rule, little rule, little rule, little rule, and they're mostly there, but sometimes they're just a little bit hard to figure out why they're there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's Vast Crystal Cavern, so that was fun to play. And then I finally purchased this game right here. I got Combat Commander Europe. So this game is not famous, but I call it... it is a famous game, but the reason it is famous here is this is the game on the top 100 that I've never played. So many episodes ago, I went through the top 100 games and I exhausted myself by the time I got to 26. So then I made Brian do 25 through one with me. And there were a few, like I had not played Zombicide Black Plague, but you are my witness that it's right there. And I've now played that. I played that with my daughter and she did great until she saw the box cover with the zombies with their skin coming off. And I was like, yeah, that was probably too scary for a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
I played that. I don't think I've actually played Istanbul, which is in there, and now Seventh Continent, that Kickstarter, has made its way into there. So there are a few others. But this is the long-standing one.
Mm-hmm.
For the longest time, this game was in about the 40s, and if you went from 1 and counted back, this game just sat there in the 40s, and I had never played it. So I got my hands on Combat Commander Europe. I have now played it twice solo and done the playthrough of theirs. So it sounds like a war game. And I thought, oh, I don't think it is. I think it's kind of like a card-playing game that has that war theme. But it is a war game. So it's definitely a war game. Moving pieces around. You talked about Squad Leader. It's probably got some things to do with that.
The artwork, if you went to my dad's back in the 80s, my dad's, and he had Panzer Blitz. He had a Stalk 1. He had, Frontline. All those kind of miniature war games.
Right.
That, what's his name?
Avalon Hill?
No, the painter guy.
Sam Healy?
No, the other one. That
Rob Oren?
Yes, Rob Oren was doing that one, and that's why he pulled out Squad Leader, and he's like, "Hey, look at new Squad Leader."
Oh yeah.
So yeah,
nice.
That's my dad's stuff.
Nice. Oh, cool. This one here intrigues me. I think what sets this apart from other war games or even Dudes on the Map games or whatever is your turn is really, really quick. And so, yes, it's a war game. Yes, there's all combat and all those modifiers, but it's all really quick to figure out. So it's like got that layer of complication where, okay, do I have line of sight? Yes. Okay, what hindrances are there? Okay, now I roll. The unique part is everybody has their own fate deck. And you can end up getting all six factions from major factions of World War II. But all you do to roll the dice is you just draw a card, and they have dice on the bottom. So you're just playing through your cards. And then you issue orders by playing cards, and you can do actions that are on cards. So it's all right there on every card. There's also events if you have to have random events. And so those random events really draw the story. It's like, okay, there's just dudes on a map, and they're moving towards each other with objectives, kind of standard style. But then it's all that stuff that happens in between. So again, I think what makes this game well, and I haven't played it with anybody else, is going to be that smoothness, that quickness to your turn. My turn, with calculating modifiers and choosing what I'm going to do, and it's not overly complicated to choose, all of that is going to take 1 minute, and then it's your turn for 1 minute, and then it's my turn for 1 minute, and that's it. There's no rounds, there's no reset, we just go. Your deck gets exhausted, there's times where it gets reset. Yada, 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 all these different things. So I'm really excited to try this game with somebody else and see where it goes. I think it's about 120 minutes, but it's classic, got the scenario. So I think the first scenario is kind of set up to be 60 minutes, and then as you get up there, it gets to about 120 minutes.
Mm.
So the part that's always tough for me is playing two-player only head-to-head games. I love them, but eventually it just doesn't work anymore. Like, I have so many. You know, I have so many LCGs and Ashes and... dice games and mages in an arena and so many of that two-player stuff that it doesn't always get played. Sometimes my wife and I just want to play co-op Gloomhaven sitting in front of me, or we want to play, you
it's
know,
a big box.
Lisboa two-player, a big heavy Euro, we're just going to play that two-player, and, you know, it's not a two-player only. So that's what I wonder about this game, but I'm glad I got it. I'm excited to check it out and see what it's all about. Cool. Any other games you want to talk about? You could say no.
I don't know. I was organizing my Dice Masters today.
Nice.
How'd that go? I was putting it back where they should belong, and I actually have each theme is in each its own boxes now. So I have Marvel's in Marvel box, and Dungeons & Dragons first set is in one box.
Yeah.
Second edition's in another box. Because what I was doing was my dad lives in Arizona, so we'd play over Skype, but we haven't played that since he got his Xbox back. Well, his Xbox account got hacked, so he hadn't played for 4 years.
Yeah.
Now he's got it back, and we've been playing that instead of doing Skype. We were doing
gotcha.
Magic on Skype. We were doing World of Warcraft trading card game on Skype, and Dice Masters on Skype. And so I just I put them back where they should belong, because I haven't been using them lately. And that's my...
Well, what you need to do is have your Xbox break. So now, Dad, I can only play Skype.
Nuts. That was a thing for a while, because the connector on the back of the Xbox, for some reason, was failing. And it kept on saying, you're kicked off Xbox, you're kicked off Xbox.
Oh, no.
But my internet was working fine. So what I had to do was actually just unplug it and have it go wireless. I figured I'd have faster speed if it was plugged in, but it's been working fine wireless.
Cool. Well, those are the games that are on our table. So tell us what's on your table. You can email us, portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. All right, for our discussion topic today, we are going to talk about the Star Wars IP and everywhere that goes and all-encompassing. You know, Christian and I both love Star Wars. In fact, he is dressed in full Star Wars gear, head to toe, and I'm a huge Star Wars fan, too. And for a while, you kind of just had some Star Wars games because it was fun to be Star Wars. Probably computer games, for me, were kind of one of the best places, the role-playing game.
Yeah.
And the one CCG that was out were kind of the big ones to me, but not really, people didn't really play those, you know? So you didn't really have a game that you just pulled out with friends and were like, this is Star Wars in a box, and now we're going to play it, and you're going to love Star Wars too, or because yeah. It's Star Wars, you're going to love it. But in the last 10 years or so, so many great Star Wars games have come out that now it's not just that it's a great IP, it's a great IP on with great games that match that IP.
Yeah.
So. What are some of your favorites? What do you want to talk about in the Star Wars universe?
Well, myself, I play Destiny, and it's got that quick card play dice mechanic where it's your turn, my turn, right? You know, you can imagine the characters being on the field or wherever your location is. I forgot what it was called, Battlefield?
Yep.
And, you know, you can imagine them ducking behind corners and taking pop shots or using their lightsaber and deflecting blasts or something of that nature, going back and forth. Rolling dice, mitigating your dice, you know, okay, you can't do that this turn because I'm playing this card. Yeah, I have some. I'd like to get more, but at the same time, what I've got is enough to play. I've got at least, I want to say like 10 decks altogether.
Yeah.
So I have five for the bad guys, five for the good guys, or six for the good guys and five, four for the, something like that. But that's one of my favorite games I like to be playing.
Nice. I really enjoy the Star Wars LCG. I have heralded that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the community never really quite built up. At one point, we had about 6 to 8 people playing when I used to run LCG nights, and they would play the Star Wars LCG, so we'd have tournaments about that size, which was pretty fun. My wife and I played it a lot. So the issue there is she doesn't like to do deck building, where that's a blast for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it's like I had to build a deck, and not necessarily explain it to her because she's super sharp. So I'm not in the sense of like I need to explain it to her because she won't understand, but just, well, this is what I put in the deck. And she's like, oh, okay, I'll figure that out. But I kind of had to explain how I built the deck. So when we found Ashes, which is, you know, pre-built decks, we tended to play that more, and it was a little bit quicker.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had some really great Star Wars LCG matches. And what I love about Star Wars LCG is pretty much, even though one person can win and kind of win outright, it always feels like a close game. Like there's a chance, even if you're like, oh, and this will be my chance, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that. And then they play that negation card, and it all goes downhill, and then they win the next turn. But you felt like you had a chance. You didn't feel like in Magic where somebody's just like, wipe your board, wipe your board, wipe your board, attack you for 20. I win. Yeah, you know, or they, whatever it is. I don't know.
Combo. I'm taking that card. I just play that card. You get rid of that monster. I pulled it back in my hand. I'm playing it again because I can do that. Yeah. And this card lets me do it 5 times. Your board's wiped and you take 10 damage.
And it's all well and good. If I'm playing a tournament and my deck runs like that, I'm super happy because it just does that every time and wins and I'm good, right? Yeah. But in casual play, I want it to be like, will I win? Will I not? Who knows? Will Luke turn to the dark side? Will he not? Will his dad help him? What's going to happen with you?
The tug of war.
You feel that tension in the game every time. It always seems exciting. And so I'm not sure somehow the theme of this game, I know that passed by some people, they didn't like that like ships were attacking people on the ground. I don't care. It's all Star Wars.
Ships by using bait. I don't know. Yeah.
I just thought it's Star Wars, whatever. Like, have fun with it. But people are a little more thematic than I am in that sense and want their Star Wars a certain way. So that was one I always enjoyed. What else you got?
What else I got? For a while, I was collecting the pocket model game.
Oh, yeah.
I got stacks of them. I got it to the table a couple of times because you know they wanted you to get 2 booster packs, which are basically you can just play right out of the box against somebody, pop out these credit card type things that were from Wizard of Coast. Not Wizards, is it? WizKids?
No. I think it's WizKids.
WizKids, because they did Pirates. Pirates was an amazing game. I also collected that, but back to Star Wars. so you get cards and you can play up to 5 points of cards, you know, you're battling, you know, trying to knock out objectives, and then once that objective is knocked out, then another one comes into play, and if, I think it's 3 objectives and game end, but I never got around to playing it. But I mean, I did have solo games where I set up a couple of guys, and just like back in the days, you know, they say, well, this is an objective, don't take sides, just do it. Okay, what was the best our alternative of what I can do? Do it. And some of the games turned out pretty good. And then it's like, oh, well, a Star Destroyer is pretty big and it takes a lot of damage and just killed all my Tauntauns. So.
Yeah, I've seen that little game. I popped those little pieces out. They're definitely fun to build, if nothing else, you know, the little models, and then they fit in your pocket. They're like pocket models. Oh, yeah. Wait, that's what
that's
called.
The name.
Nice. Cool. Well, I would be remiss with talking about modern Star Wars games to not mention Rebellion, because that's pretty much my favorite now, I think. Where this would falter for me is that my wife very much does not like Rebellion. Played it with me for my previous birthday last year in October and said, that's my final play of this game. She had played it, I give her credit, she played both sides at least once and played that game. So at least 3 times she had tried it. And it's just got that cat and mouse, you're trying to, or and one person's hidden, the rebels are hiding their base on one of the planets and they have to find them. And the dice rolling, I never find it to get clunky, but people I play with always find it to get clunky. And in the new expansion that just came out, they completely overhauled the dice system and how all that works. I still haven't played it, but I think I'm supposed to 2 days from now on Thursday. I'm going to finally play the Rebellion expansion. And so I'll get a chance to do that. But I mean, it's just so good. I know you haven't played it yet, so.
No, but I've seen a playthrough, and it just, yeah.
Yeah, it's so thematic. It's just all these things from Star Wars happening. You can convert characters to the dark side. You can capture them.
Yeah.
You're completing all sorts of missions that, you know, even if you don't know exactly what they are, they feel Star Wars-esque to you. You get those epic battles. You get those small battles that are so key. And yeah, it just does such a great job, and it's pretty smooth and pretty quick. Like your first play with reading all the cards and figuring out the rules is going to be 4 hours, but most of the games I've played after that have been 2. If you get it under 2, it feels really smooth. If you get it just over 2, you feel like, okay, that was a long game, but you know, that's what it took us. You know, and the production is just top notch with all the models and the artwork on the cards. And I'm really excited to get the expansion to give more opportunities for other characters to get in there. I'm not, like, super excited. I think it's Rogue One characters, which are fine, But they're not the classic characters to me. Like, people get real excited about Rogue One, and I'm still an original trilogy through and through. Like, whoa, hold on, slow down. The original trilogy is so good. It's what started all this, and people seem to jump on the newest, hottest. So I'm excited for those characters to be in there. But Rebellion is hands down a phenomenal game. Don't play it four player. It is a two player only game.
That's cool.
Yeah. We got a chance to play one together at the 24-hour marathon. Yes. So you should talk about that one.
Star Wars, what was it called? The
Queen's Gambit.
Oh, that's right. I'm like, which one are you pointing to? I was remembering the one the little one that we just played.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Queen's Gambit, that was one of the 24-hour marathons. I showed up for an hour because I had to go to work that day, but I had to make it, play that game. it was phenomenal. Yeah, very thematic. you know, I was trying to so hard to get my little Annie to, don't call me Annie, destroy the droids and my Gungans were just getting hammered and, at the same time trying to get my queens to knock out the, what's his name? Trade Federation guys.
Oh, yeah. The Nemoidians, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Newt Gunray and the Viceroy, right?
Why do you bring these people to my face? No. anyhow, so, yeah. And then Darth Maul just mowed through my people and just got up there and goes, oh, I'm here to save the day.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I was singing the whole time and it was like 7 in the morning.
Oh.
I forgot. Yeah, you showed up really early.
Yeah.
But I had been up all night. I played Age of Steam for 3.5 hours in the middle of the night and went from there and whatnot. So, yeah, Queen's Gambit's great. I've had that around forever. And I still got that little piece of paper that you write on that I got in 1999. 18 years later, you're still writing a symbol as to which queen is the real queen. So.
That's pretty cool.
Nice. Of course, there's also all the miniature style games. So there's X-Wing, Armada. Have you tried any of those? Played any of those?
I own X-Wing. I love it. I want more. It's like crack. As soon as I get another ship, it's got more cards I can add with use for the other ships. And I played it multiple times with my friend Tim, he always wants to try to play the games because, of course, they have the expanded universe. He's read all the books, so he's like, oh, I can use this ship and this ship, and you got this ship? Okay, we'll use that too. I love it. Sometimes I make scenarios. I have one printed out, and I like it. It's Luke Skywalker with a Y-Wing. For Darth Vader and a couple of extra ties.
Yeah.
And it's a 50-50 balance. It is. Because the Y-Wing having a turret that spins around. And then having the speed of the other TIE fighters where Darth Vader's got a couple of extra hits. You know, it's so balanced.
Nice. I've got Armada and I've played it very little, but it's the same thing for me. Like, I'm dying to get that Imperial Star Destroyer just to put it on the table. Like, I don't even care if I win at that point. Just like, yep, I'm an Imperial Star Destroyer, whatever. If you blow me up, okay, but I got to be an Imperial Star Destroyer. So I'm really enjoying Armada more than X-Wing, although I do love the dogfight element of X-Wing, but yeah. So.
And the size and scale, trying to have a Star Destroyer, it's only 6 foot long, so it's like, okay, you just sit there and roll the dice around and the ships around the item that's staying still and say that you're moving it, so move all your other pieces down. I don't know, it's just Armada helps you with that feel of this massive space battle, like you've seen Return of the Jedi. You know, it's like, oh, how do you know the shields are down? Oh, we got a whole fleet behind us and a bank of X-Wing or TIE fighters just swarm at them.
Right.
So.
Nice. How about some of the kids' games like that have come out? Well, actually, one's old. Epic Duels. You ever played that one? It's a little bit more than a kids' game. That one's pretty cool. Like
the card game?
No, Epic Duels is like, it's a board. There's all these boards and there's all these pairs. So it's like Han and Leia. Or, no, I think it's Luke and Leia, and it's like Han and Chewie, or it's like Boba Fett and Greedo, and you get a pair, and you get a little deck of cards, and then you can play their cards, and you're just trying to eliminate the other ones. I don't even think there's dice rolling. I think you just play a card, and then it's like, if my attack is higher than yours, you take damage, and you track your health or something. I can't remember exactly. It's pretty cool. It's a fun game. I'll have to try it with you sometime. Luke and Chewie, have you played that one?
No.
Ah. Lupin Chewie's Excellence, the old Lupin Louie game. And it's just electronic and it goes around and Chewie's in the Millennium Falcon. And you're trying to protect your stormtroopers by hitting the button just in time. It's just a little dexterity game. But it's like one of those games that takes 3 minutes. It's like play again, play again, play again. Next thing you know, you've been sitting for a half hour, played 10 games of it. So it's super good. But there you go. Just throwing this Star Wars theme on is like, oh, this is cool. It's Chewbacca.
There was another game that came out about Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition. It was Star Wars miniature game, and they gave you the cards and a basic box came with Obi-Wan, Darth Maul, and some other random guys. And you can buy booster boxes like the old Hero Clicks.
Yeah.
And open them up. You don't know what you get. And they come with the cards, and you'd have these epic battles, kind of like Imperial Assault, but in a whole different scale. And you don't know what you're going to get. They came out with all sorts of boosters. I never saw anybody having tournaments or anything like that. Mm. So it's like just...
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's those two-player dueling games. They're so cool. But who? Who, when? When am I playing this? Why am I playing this instead of this game? You know, it's always tough. Like, that's where, like, I would need one of those that my wife was into it as much as I was.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a gaming buddy that lived 2 minutes from my house. Mm-hmm. So we were constantly playing, like, oh, yeah, just come over at 4:30. We'll play quickly before dinner. Or I'll come right over for an hour after dinner. We'll play, and then I'll come home again, you know? But the whole, like, get out to somebody's house to try to play, like, 4 games in a row, like, that's just tricky, you know, to try to make it worth the time. So you mentioned Imperial Assault.
Yes.
But I love Imperial Assault, and I've tried to get groups. I've tried to get, like, just my wife to play, just my daughter to play with me, my wife and my daughter, other groups, and it's just so hard when you get older to get those, like, consistent groups that are going to play the same game every week, all the time. My daughter was pretty into it, and then what happened was the cat, we had left Imperial Assault out, and the cat threw up on my daughter's cards. Like the player cards, and they were ruined.
That's,
and they were stuck to things. So I took a picture and I emailed FFG, and I had new cards within about 2 weeks. They replaced it, no questions asked. But that 2 week hiatus from playing the game, then, you know, we put everything away, and my daughter's like, I don't know. So we haven't played again, but she played about 2 or 3 missions with me, and she was getting it and enjoying it. She liked the story too, which was neat, but. My daughter's interesting because she loves Star Wars. She has Star Wars bedsheet. She's seen all the Star Wars movies. She knows all the characters. But the game's just, the IP in the game doesn't click for her. She's just not enough into, like, any intricacy to the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it doesn't bring her in enough. Because I tried, like, Destiny with her. But it's just, there's too much game there, you know? And, like, Star Wars doesn't really draw her in that game. She loves Star Wars, but Star Wars game, that IP doesn't matter. Like, whatever, I don't care that it's Star Wars, even though I like Star Wars. She's much more into a game that's like themed princesses, or I don't know, not even a theme. Like, she loves OutFox, where you're just trying to deduce things. So she almost likes those games more for the game than the IP, which is interesting because a lot of people are more interested in, like, what's the theme, and if the game is good or bad, it doesn't matter. I just want to play the theme, you know. So, kind of interesting. I'm looking at Marrying Mr. Darcy, the Pride and Prejudice game over there. So, which I think is actually pretty fun. But it's hilarious that you're playing a game about Pride and Prejudice. Is that the IP we're talking about?
No.
Cool. What else you got? That's most of mine. I mean, there's a ton more Star Wars games.
Star Wars. I have Star Wars role-playing game. It's a... I placed... Dungeons & Dragons 3.5.
Yeah.
Pathfinder. They also have any of the D20 open game license.
Mm-hmm.
You can use, I mean, they're pretty much so compatible. But I use Star Wars in with my rest of my Dungeons & Dragons. So you can play as a adept Jedi who doesn't have, they have the powers of Force, but they don't have a trainer.
Right.
There's no master involved, but they can, wield the Force, but they have to go through the journey and stuff like that. So I use that. I also use, some of the Force is around us. You know, you always have Dungeons & Dragons where people always have gods. Well, now there's the Force.
Mm.
So it's like another entity by itself. You know, you believe in the Force and the Force will guide you and stuff like that. It's like, what are you talking about? You know, but I integrated that. Another thing, what I just did, I bought the Resistance. I also had a Star Wars Rogue One deck of cards.
Oh, okay.
And on some of the cards, like that's kings, queens, stuff like that, yeah. I sleeved them, and now you can use the characters.
That's great.
For the cards and use that for the Empire instead of the Resistance.
Yeah, that's great.
And so it's got the Rogue One characters. I bought a Boba Fett one deck of cards thinking the same thing would happen. It's all Boba Fett artwork. It's all Boba Fett. So, I mean, you can throw a sleeve on that and it'll have Boba Fett with Rogue One characters. Yeah, it doesn't work.
That doesn't work. Cool. Yeah. So anyway, there are just a ton of Star Wars IP games out there now, and solid good ones. I mean, Queen's Gambit has always been a good one. The LCG, the old CCG, there was a TCG that didn't go over so well. Destiny is a game people love.
Star Wars Risk.
Yeah, even Star Wars Risk is cool.
That's the new Queen's Gambit.
I think even like the new Star Wars Monopoly is like a 45-minute game now.
Star Wars Battleship.
Yeah, they got all those things.
They lowered the grid, and they gave you 4 ships instead of 5 ships.
Right.
I think the whole board's small too.
There you go. So, but there's a ton of these games out there. X-Wing and Armada people are really into. So you don't have to be afraid. I feel like when you see a Star Wars game now, you know, you don't have to be afraid. Like, oh, will this be kind of crummy? I don't know. I mean, you're going to kind of know those ones that are on the shelf, like in the kids section at Target.
4-in-1 games?
Yeah, exactly. You know, those you got to be leery or whatever. They're for your kids.
Star Wars Tidwig.
But if you go to a game shop these days, you go to the portal, those games you're pulling off the shelf, you know, they're high quality, high production, well done, well thought out games. Like, they're not just thrown together to get the IP. They're paying for that license, and they're making a solid game.
Yes.
So I think that's really awesome. And as a Star Wars fan, it just brings me in even more. If you tell me you're going to make Star Wars, you were just talking about that Empire versus Rebellion game that we played. And I have that game. It's KGB. It's CIA versus KGB.
Yeah.
But I'm ready to play the Star Wars one. Like, I don't. Why do I need to play CIA versus KGB when I can play Empires versus Rebels? You know, like, that's way more exciting. So just retheme it. I'm in. I'm sold. So, all right. Last thoughts on Star Wars IP.
Make more.
Bring it on.
Especially with Imperial Assault. It's got the campaign to it.
Yeah.
You know, so you can play it as a skirmish game. But having the campaign and even if they were able to make, you know, I mean, so many expansions, I mean, all those little packs, mm-hmm. just like X-Wing, you get the pack of characters and you get extra cards to fill out more of I'm going to make this scenario where, Triple Zero comes in and, tells people what to do. And since he's Imperial, well, then you're going to get some stormtroopers and this and that. And Rebel gets, whatever have you. So, just infinitive amount of things you can do with Star Wars games, because they just keep coming out with more stuff.
There you go, Star Wars IP. Shut up and take my money.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, let us know what you feel about Star Wars. What are your favorite Star Wars games? What are your least favorite Star Wars games? What have you used to play with people? The Gateway, Tintro, what are you totally obsessed with? All those things. You can email us or tweet us. Awesome. All right, there you go. Episode 66 is complete. We have officially...
Order 66.
executed that order. And so watch out, because any troopers that come to your house will be traitors, and they're there to take you out if you're a Jedi.
The dark side.
Hey, Christian, thanks. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
It was awesome having you. I'll see you around the store and whatnot at various events, and maybe we'll do this again sometime. So.
Sounds great.
I don't think I have anything else to say.
I think that's it.
Nice. So, until next time, I have been your host, The Brant, and with me...
Christian.
And we hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on October 17, 2017. Go Yankees! Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. And as always, thanks for listening.